atop the Van Dam building in the heart of Ronville. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. Welcome to the show. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be entertaining you for the next half hour or so, maybe. I might do that. You never know. This could be entertaining, and maybe not. You have no idea. This is about as much fun as you can have with your clothes on. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding. All right. Settle down. Stop screaming and yelling and applauding so much. Just calm down. It's all going to be all right. Well, maybe not. Anyway, if you say it is, then it still isn't. Welcome to the show. Oh, my God, it's so great to have you here. You're looking good today. What, did you comb your hair? I think you did. That's really something when you do that. This makes such a difference. Run a brush through it, man. Makes a difference. We're such a superficial society, and I think that's fantastic. I really do. You don't want to get to know people inside. The superficial thing is so much easier. You see somebody, they look good, we're done. You know, nice, simple, clean cut, finished. Getting to know their insides, oh, it's such a chore. Oh, you have to talk to them for an extended period of time, probe all different kinds of subjects, see if you agree on things. You have to check them out in different circumstances, different environments, different atmospheres. It is so much work. But Ron, we're all beautiful inside. I can't tell. You got this shell and skin thing on, which, I can't tell. I can't. We are attracted to good-looking people, let's face it. We don't talk to people that aren't good looking or as good looking until we're forced in a situation where you have to have conversation. Or they have a title or something and you've been introduced to them and you have to say, hi, how are you? You know, then you have to hear them talk and all that kind of stuff. But superficial, you don't even have to talk to them. You just glance at them and you go, oh, look at them. And we're done. We're done. We just go on with our lives. It's fantastic. But the one caveat, comb your hair. You got to comb your hair. I have a ponytail. And, I do. I have to put my hair in a ponytail because I have long hair. And I just do. And if I don't, then I look like a hippie freak. And, you know, people won't talk to me. Ponytail, they'll say some things. It's all the appearance, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you have to dress well. I did a show about a month ago about how Americans don't dress well at all. Their idea of dressing up is putting a brand name sweatshirt on. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And the sweatpants, they're nothing but pajama pants that you wear when you're sweating. It's just not right. And I know that in other countries, I'm not a well-traveled man. My wife does, and she tells me that people dress so much better in different countries. And I believe that because I've been living in this country for a long time, and I don't see it. I don't see people dressing well at all. And when they do dress well, it's a miracle. You know the old story when you go to a wedding, and a wedding is the only place that people still get dressed up. Not even church. People don't even dress up in church anymore. Yeah, I'm going to go into God's house. Doesn't matter. God doesn't care what I'm wearing. Yes, yes, God does. You're not going to heaven dressed like that. Put on a nice shirt, at least. If you're going to go to heaven, you got to dress a little bit better than that. I'm not going to heaven with you dressed like that. No, we don't dress in church. We don't dress for anything. In court, nothing. No, not even. But at a wedding, there you got to dress up. Different rules, different regulations. Now, some people don't, and when they don't dress up at a wedding, they are talked about and maligned, and oh, your reputation is finished in life. You might as well just abolish yourself to an island. You might as well have leprosy. You're really out of place. Now, a wedding is where it's the only place people still get dressed up. That's it. Or maybe to one of those, what do they call them, baptisms, one of those public baths for children. They'll dress up for that. Oh, yeah. They ain't going to wear jeans to that. Oh, my God, my child's going to be dipped in holy water. I can't dress like this. Put a tie on. Your child's going to be dipped in holy water. Put a tie on. They dress up the little child like it's some type of a ventriloquist dummy, you know? Ventriloquist dummies are always dressed up. They always have little bow ties on or little ties. Ventriloquist dummies dress better than you do. That's sorry, isn't it? As you probably know, for a couple of decades at least, I was a wedding videographer. Very lucrative business. It's fantastic. People will pay anything at a wedding because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing until they get divorced, and it's a twice-in-a-lifetime thing until they get divorced, and it's a three-times-in-a-lifetime thing. And, of course, the more times you get married, the less of an official thing it is, you know. First wedding, it's, gigantic religious ceremony in a church or a big synagogue or in a big function hall. Third marriage, we'll just go down to the city hall and get a license and maybe have a little party with friends. That's very different. It starts waning down as you continue on the plight of marriage that just doesn't seem to happen. Anyway, people dress up at weddings. And that's when I hear the famous line, and I love it because it's indicative, and I love the word indicative because it has dick in it, and ative is also in it. Yes, the guests will come up to the groom, and say, "My God, you clean up well." What does that mean? You're dirty most of the time? Kind of, yes. It means that you don't usually look good at all, but when you put on a tuxedo or a suit, you look very good. Normally, you look like crap. That's what it means. You're an ugly, disgusting ball of snot. But when you put a suit on, you look good. So don't tell me that clothes don't make a difference. Or running a comb through your hair, my God, even. And it's the same for women, you know. When the woman wears a wedding gown, she's a vision of loveliness. She's a goddess in the Garden of Eden. She is the most miraculously fantastic glowing thing on the planet. If you don't wear that wedding dress, you're a slutty bitch. It's true. The clothes make the difference. And no one should look better than the bride and the groom. So that's why they dress so well. And they have tons of makeup on, especially the groom. And they're the center of attention. So even if you're dressed better than them, you're not going to get the center of attention. You're nothing. You're a nobody. And then you sit down at a wedding to one of those dinners, which is always stuffed chickens. I don't know what they're putting in that chicken, but they're stuffing it with something. Chicken or fish. It's going to be. I always have the fish because I don't have fish that often, and it's an opportunity to have a fish. Some people choose the steak, which is always, or you know, the prime rib, which is always the better choice because it's more expensive of a dinner. And you're not paying for it. Weddings are so funny. They really are. They're a joke. I laughed my way through my 2-3 decades of doing wedding videos. I laughed my way through because it's so funny. It's just so funny. In the churches, when the priests go through their little soliloquy about how to have a successful marriage, and you realize that, well, they've never been married before, they're married to God. Well, God doesn't talk back. Nowhere near your spouse does. So, no. The last person to spew advice about marriage should be the guy who never got married. Of course, it depends on your religion and all that stuff. Anyway, I'm getting too specific. I have two guests on the program today. We're going to talk to a man who has traveled the world. He traveled the seven modern wonders of the world in 7 days, which I believe is what's going to happen here, and we're going to find out how he did it. Obviously, it's a publicity stunt for a travel agency, but nonetheless, he still did it. It's not something you can do, I don't think. I mean, I guess you can if you want to spend your money doing something like that. Traveling has become so difficult because of the airlines. Got to get to the airport 3 hours early. Why? To sit on my ass? No, to stand online and have them check your luggage. Well, that's fun. Welcome to traveling. Then you sit on the runway for an hour. I mean, come on. You've got unruly passengers, crying babies. This is not fun. This is not fun. Then you get to your destination, and it's like, oh, God, I'm exhausted just trying to get here. And then try to get home when it's over. It ruins the whole... I had a great time until I had to take my flight home where they screwed it up and I was sitting on a tarmac. I don't even know what tarmac is, but I'm sitting on it. My entire wonderful vacation, my last experience is a lousy flight and a stupid airline. Wow. That didn't sound like fun to me. I don't know. President Biden is actually doing something that makes a lot of sense. He's saying, hey, airlines, if you don't, if the flight doesn't go on time and the flight gets canceled, you give the passenger their money back. I mean, no vouchers. No, like a hotel room. Just give them their money. You didn't perform the service or your service sucked. Give the guy the money back. I like that because that's the way it should be. That's right. Yeah. You know, you get a voucher. Things went terribly wrong. I was not able to service you. I was not able to fulfill our contract or our agreement. Here's a voucher for a free donut. No. Not good enough. Give me my money back. I paid money and you gave me nothing. Give me my money back now. And that's the way it should be, like with any product or anything that happens. You'll get a voucher. You know, I really hate your company. I want my money back. Well, I can't give you your money back, but I'll give you a voucher to use our company again, the very company that you swear you'll never use again because we suck so much. Here's a voucher to use us again because we suck so much. Have another sucky adventure with us as payment for having a sucky adventure with us. It doesn't make any sense. You know it doesn't. Stop telling me it. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop telling me it does because it doesn't. Oh, Lord. Anyway, yeah, start putting some nice clothes on. I'm telling you. I know you got them. And if you don't, go to Kohl's. They have Kohl's cash there. Do you have a department store where you live called Kohl's? Kohls. I haven't made fun of them too much, so I'll do it now. It's a department store. Aren't a lot of those left. It's pretty much Kohl's, Target, and Kmart. No, Kmart's gone. Walmart, I'm sorry. One of those marts. That's about it. That's about it as far as brick and mortar is concerned. Those are buildings, by the way. So Kohl's, yeah, they have a thing called Kohl's Cash. I don't know what it is. They're now coming up with their own monetary system. I guess when you buy stuff, you earn Kohl's Cash. Which, by the way, I went to a restaurant a couple of weeks ago and I had Kohl's Cash and they refused to take it. And I said, hey, it's Kohl's Cash. Isn't it any good here? No, we don't take Kohl's Cash. We take regular American money or we take credit cards or we don't take Kohl's Cash. Why not? It's a cash system. It seems that only Kohl's will take Kohl's Cash, so I guess that's a problem. Sometimes they have some good deals, sometimes not. I don't like buying in stores because they make you pay for the fact that you're returning something. It's kind of easy to buy something, stand online, pay for it, and leave. To return it, that line's around the block. Ever try to return something to Amazon? They'll get your money back really fast, but in order to get the item back to them, you have to go to one of those UPS stores. I don't quite understand those. Nobody's buying anything in there. Nobody's shipping by UPS. They're just returning stuff is all they're doing. We're a return merchandise society. That's all we do. We buy stuff pretty much just to return it. I mean, ask Amazon. That's all they do. You can buy what you want. You can return it if you don't like it. Well, seems like the returns are more plentiful than the purchases, which makes no sense, but somehow that's the case. When I return something, I usually put some nice clothes on. It's an occasion. It's something to do. When I go to Kohl's and I spend my Kohl's Cash, I dress in a tuxedo because I'm out for the day, and I think it's the right thing to do. By the way, Kohl's doesn't seem to sell tuxedos for some reason. So how good is your Kohl's Cash now if you're getting married? It's not very good. Is a toaster still an acceptable wedding gift? Probably not, but I think it's fun to do.
Can you believe the Van Damme couple gave us a toaster for our wedding?
Those cheap sons of bitches. And they also had some Kohl's Cash in an envelope they gave to us. Cheap sons of bitches.
Hey, you're getting married, deal with it.
All right, my guests are going to join us momentarily, but before they do, we have this short commercial break, and then we'll get into the guest interview portion of the program. It's going to be fun. You're going to love it. But before we do, what's your last name?
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Jamie McDonald is a British adventurer, also known as Adventure Man. I'll tell you about him in just a second. It'll blow your mind. And Jen Cato here, who will also blow your mind, is the CMO for Travelport. This is an incredible story. Thanks to the both of you for being here today. Jamie?
Thank you. Okay.
Jamie, this is crazy. This is nuts. Jamie visited the seven wonders of the world in less than 7 days. But he did it, actually. First of all, Jamie, what are the seven wonders of the world?
Oh, God, put me to the test. Yeah, I recently got back and it's complete blur. it's like a dream. Like, did it happen? Did it actually happen? But a quick list would be kind of the Great Wall of China, Taj Mahal, Machu Picchu, Petra, the Colosseum, and Chichen Itza. Wow. Hopefully I got them all right.
If anybody did, it would be you. All right, Jamie. The big question is, how did you do this? I mean, you covered 22, almost 23,000 miles in 6 days, a little over 6 days. 13 flights, 16 taxis, 9 buses, 4 trains, and a toboggan. How is this physically possible? I mean, how did you do this?
That's a great question. Everyone knows I'm a record breaker. I've got quite a few under my belt. I've run across Canada, America, but I ended up running through the Arizonian desert in the hottest time of year. So I'm kind of one of the worst planners ever. So this kind of challenge for me is the ultimate challenge, and I'm so glad the Travel Corps set this challenge for me with their powered by their software, Travel Corps Plus, that could look at every tiny detail of something I'm not great at to make sure that I made every single piece of transport, 43 in total. Though I did end up missing a flight. I went to the wrong terminal, but luckily there was a travel agent there to kind of save the day and swoop in to make sure that I could keep everything in motion.
Well, I mean, suffice to say, Jamie did this with the support of Travelport. Man, this sounds like a gigantic task for Travelport as well, Jen.
It was such a great way to put our platform, Travelport Plus, to the ultimate test. You know, we talk a lot about how agile and simple our platform makes travel for travel agents and also for consumers. If you work with a travel agent or you book online, you know, we power that experience. And so we thought, if we can make the most complex trip simple, we can handle anything, and we're really proving out what we say we do.
Wow. Are you getting a lot of calls now for people that want to visit the Seven Wonders in 7 days?
We are. In fact, all of our employees want to take that trip right now. Yeah. And, you know, we worked with a partner of ours called Travel Bag, which is a travel agency that's been using Travelport Plus, and they're selling this trip now on travelport.com. So anyone Whoa. Can take it. You can get more sleep than Jamie did.
Yeah, I don't think you get, that's the only downfall is you don't get much sleep, but you do see a lot of stuff. It's like, Jamie, you did a whole lifetime in 6 days. That's incredible. But you do this kind of thing all the time, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no stranger to doing adventures. I hold the world record for running on a treadmill covering the most amount of miles possible, 524 miles. So I get this. But this one, this particular challenge made me so nervous because I felt like I didn't have too much control in whether I could achieve it or not. So that's why I'm kind of grateful that I have a travel port there behind the scenes kind of supporting me. And what was really magical is that at the end of this journey, they made a donation to one of the sick kids that I support. I've got a charity called Tubra Foundation. They donated for every mile on the trip, so over $22,000 to a little boy with cerebral palsy, which is really life-changing.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's all incredible. The most incredible thing is being on the toboggan. I don't know how you pulled that off. Otherwise, very doable. What's next on the schedule for you there, Jamie? You're going to scale a mountain or something?
That's a good question, John. Just recently had twins. So that is keeping me very, very, very busy. So I'm kind of going back to that, but from one event to the next.
You know, the funny thing is, you'll get less sleep with the twins than you would have.
Get me back to doing
just several ones. Jen, how does somebody, I mean, if you can pull this off, I'm sure you can take care of a really nice trip. How does one take advantage of this?
That's right, one with a hotel maybe. Go to travelport.com/7wonders, the number 7, wonders with an S, and you can watch all of the videos from the program. You can make a donation to Jamie's foundation, the Superhero Foundation, or you can book the trip or just go to one of the wonders. You don't have to go to all 7.
No, not all 7. Not that quickly.
Take your time.
spread it out a little bit. Hey, congratulations. Congratulations to the both of you, and it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Nayeli Trejos joins us now. She's Director of Aquatics and Public Safety at the American Red Cross. We've all heard of that.
Right.
Yeah. It's that time of year where we talk about water safety because it's significant, isn't it?
It absolutely. I mean, the statistics are there, right, to support the water safety cause.
Yeah. What are some of those data facts that you're referring to?
So I don't know if your listeners know that drowning is the leading cause of death for children between the ages of 1 and 4. Not only that, you think about daily in the United States, there's about 11 drownings per day.
Wow.
So just think about the magnitude, right? Think of our communities, and we're really out here trying to spread the word and awareness of water safety.
Do most of these occur in the oceans or in our swimming pools?
So a lot of them are residential pool, which is why the American Red Cross developed the Circle of Drowning Prevention. And one of the things is make sure we don't give access to our children to unsupervised water. And people think automatically pools, lakes, rivers, but people don't think about bathtubs.
Oh.
They don't think about buckets with water, right?
Yeah.
So having active and constant supervision while kids are on water, I think is amazing.
A lot of this is common sense, isn't it?
I think we definitely want to educate folks because I think we have to model those behaviors so our children can see, like, hey, I'm wearing a life jacket if I'm on a boat.
Yeah.
I am swimming in a supervised area by a lifeguard and things like that.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about the private pools in homes. I know in many towns and cities you have to have a fence around the pool. But once you're inside the fence, I mean, all kinds of horrible things can still happen. Yeah.
I definitely did not catch that last part. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, within the confines of fences around pools, where it's mandatory in many cities and states to have the pool fenced in, once you're inside that fenced area, that can be incredibly dangerous as well.
Correct. And what we try to tell parents or caregivers is really have constant supervision, but not only constant, active supervision, right?
Yeah.
So put down the book, put down the magazine, put down the phone. You really should be focusing on children in, on, and around the water to prevent, you know, any incidents.
Yeah, no question. Let's talk about how to prepare a child in case horrible things happen. And I guess that's learning how to swim. How important is that?
Oh, it is incredibly important. And I think what we want to relate to parents and caregivers is not only about teaching them water safety, it's really about providing those advanced skills or continuing skills. So in the event they are to have an accident to fall into water, they know how to react, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, that goes to the parents also knowing about water safety. So that's our primary message here today.
Yeah, I'm aware of many stories of adults, actually, you know, we're talking about children here, but many adults who go rafting and all that kind of stuff, and they just get very careless about it because they think they're adults, and, you know, we have search teams going out in the ocean for people and boating accidents, et cetera. I mean, learning how to swim and wearing the proper paraphernalia is almost key, but, you know, I don't know, that's a problem too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not only key, right? Like, we have to model the behavior so our children see that in wearing your U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket and not saying, hey, I got this, I could do this. It's absolutely, you can't get too comfortable, right? Because that's when accidents do happen.
Yeah, let's talk about that because I think a lot of parents feel that if their kids are wearing water wings or some type of flotation device that they can be left alone because nothing's going to happen. Can things still happen even though they're wearing protective gear?
Absolutely. This is why we provide the layers of protection, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you have to think about the water rings. It's not U.S. Coast Guard approved. Mm-hmm. Really looking at those life jackets that say U.S. Coast Guard approved, knowing that they fit correctly and properly, that they're the right size. Nothing replaces active and constant supervision by an adult, right? Yeah. And also swimming in areas that are protected by lifeguards. Those are all, again, layers of protection. Yeah. And actually just giving the education to the children, right? Like, should you go in the water if you can't see the bottom? Should you go in the water if there's no lifeguard? Should you go in the water if there's not an adult? It's just really modeling those behaviors.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in this day and age, both with swimming pools and even driving, we have a lot of distractions, and they come in the form of cell phones. And that's actually more of a challenge of distraction sometimes than a help. And I know that's a problem too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You put that phone down. The text message can wait. The Instagram post can wait. Put the phone down. Have active and constant supervision. That is the main message here with water safety.
Now, you have a partnership between Sweet Frog and Red Cross. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. The American Red Cross is excited to announce our partnership with Sweet Frog. Sweet Frog and its customers are really at the forefront of really providing us with resources to help with water safety awareness, right, to bring that awareness. They're not also doing that, but they're also having a fundraiser for the American Red Cross from May 1st through August 15, where customers can go in, viewers can go in, listeners can go in and donate to the American Red Cross and our water safety cause. Not only that, but Sweet Frog is matching donations up to $10,000. And in the highlight of this partnership, they developed a frozen yogurt flavor.
Well, there's a lot to find out about there. And the website, if you're into the websites, is sweetfrog.com/water safety. Seems kind of simple. And, of course, you can always Google the American Red Cross and get all the information you need on any type of safety situation for water, everything. Thank you so much for your time today, Naomi. You've been a real help. We appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for helping us spread this message.
Great. Well, thank you to my guests and thank you to you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.